Did you know that Jesus gave a special prayer for you just before his arrest? We need to have that one off. It's okay, it is now, right? At the end of chapter 14, we heard Jesus tell his disciples that it was time for them to leave the upper room where they had the Passover, and he led them to the Garden of Gethsemane. And as they walked there, we have the words that he spoke recorded for us in John chapters 15 and 16. When he was done with the words that we looked at this morning in chapter 16, he had nothing more to say. And he stopped for a moment and uttered the prayer that is found in John 17. Before he uttered his prayers in the Garden of Gethsemane. So the prayer begins in this manner in John 17, 1 and 2. John spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. After speaking to his disciples, Jesus spoke to the Father. He looked up into heaven and spoke of his relationship with his Father. He spoke of his relationship with his disciples. And he spoke of their relationship with one another. Did you hear him in how he began this prayer? Addressing his Father, he acknowledged that the hour had come. And both of them knew what that meant. It was the time when the Father would glorify the Son and the Son would glorify the Father, because as Jesus said, the Father had given Jesus all authority over all flesh, enabling Jesus to give eternal life to all whom the Father would give to him. He continued in verse 3. And this is eternal life. He had spoken about eternal life in verse 2. So here's eternal life. That they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Eternal life is living forever. But how can that happen? Well, Jesus summarized eternal life by saying, it is knowing the only true God and knowing Jesus Christ, whom the Father had sent. Now keep in mind that the disciples heard this prayer. Even as we hear it written down, so they heard it with the ear. Verses 4 and 5. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Jesus worked to glorify his Father. The Father gave Jesus a work to do, and he did it. It was time to complete everything. Jesus asked the Father for the glory that they shared in the past. Remember how John began his gospel account? John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Whatever they shared back then, Jesus said it was time for that to happen again. But that meant that Jesus had to go where the Father was, and it also meant bringing others along to share in that glory. Jesus then spoke about those special men. At this point, we know now that Numbers 11, 6 through 8, verses 6 through 8. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me. And they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given to me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you. And they have believed that you sent me. Jesus did what the Father wanted done. Jesus revealed God's name to those men whom God had given to Jesus. God gave them to Jesus because they were God's as obedient Jews in the first place. But then something new dawned on the scene. And they embraced it. Having such a relationship with the disciples, they learned that the things of Jesus came from the Father. They could see that. The Father gave Jesus words. And He gave those words to the disciples. How did the disciples react to that? Jesus said, they received the words of Jesus as the words of God. They knew that Jesus came forth from the Father. And they believed that the Father had sent Jesus. Now look at what Jesus wanted for them and for us. Verses 9 through 11. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one, as we are. Since the disciples received both the Father and the Son, Jesus made this prayer to the Father, specifically for the disciples. The prayer of John 17, Jesus did not utter for the world. It's not that He wanted them excluded from the things of God, but this was a special prayer for some special men because they belonged to the Father. In verse 10, Jesus showed the depth of the relationship that He had with the Father. Everything or everyone who belongs to the Father belongs to the Son. And Jesus, He said, is glorified in them. He was about to leave the world, but the disciples would remain in the world while Jesus went back to the Father. Therefore, Jesus made a special appeal, and you can see it in the last sentence of verse 11, calling God Holy Father. Jesus pled with the Father to keep in His name the disciples whom the Father had given to Jesus for the purpose that they might be one. And did you hear to what degree? Even as The Father and the Son are one. That's what He wants for us. Verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in Your name. Those whom You gave Me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. Jesus emphasized still further the name of God. During His ministry, He kept the disciples in the Father's name. Jesus kept every one of the disciples whom the Father gave to Him, He says, except for one who had just left the group, both physically and spiritually. Did the 11 know to whom Jesus alluded? John and Peter knew. Did they wonder where Judas was, by the way? Did they think to themselves, hey, you know, Judas isn't here. What has Judas missed? I wonder if they thought that to themselves. Because Judas missed a lot, didn't he? You know, from about midway in chapter 13 all the way up to this point here, Jesus has said a lot, and Judas didn't hear those words. And it wasn't for him to hear those words, because he wasn't part of that group anymore. Again, Jesus continued, 13 and 14. But now I come to You, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have My joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them Your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. As Jesus said back in verse 12, He had been with the disciples in the world, but then, as He said in verse 13, that time ended. And Jesus prepared Himself to go to the Father. What Jesus spoke while in the world with His disciples, He spoke that they might have the joy of Christ fulfilled in themselves. Jesus gave the word of the Father to the disciples, and the world hated them for it. Hating them because they were not of the world, even as they hated Jesus because He was not of the world. And interestingly here, He's talking about a group of religious people. He's not talking about the world as we customarily use that. He's talking about the Jewish nation who had rejected Him but claimed they believe in God. In 15 through 19, He spoke more about the world and separation from the world. I do not pray that You should take them out of the world, but that You should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by Your truth. Your word is truth. As You send Me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify Myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. While Jesus had been with His disciples, He did not on this occasion pray that He could take them with Him. But knowing the persecution that was headed their way and the temptations with which they would have to deal, Jesus prayed that the Father would keep them from the evil one, because they were not of the world to the same degree that Jesus was not of the world. So that would mean to the same degree and intensity with which Satan would pursue Jesus, so he would pursue his disciples. And man, he did. And he still does. Therefore, Jesus prayed further that the Father would sanctify the disciples by His truth. What is truth? In fact, somebody will ask that question in the next chapter. Truth is the Word of God, the very things that Jesus gave to them. That's what he's been talking about. Father, I've given your words to them. And by those words, all these things can happen. What the Father had Jesus do, go into the world. Jesus then commanded the disciples to go into the world to do what Jesus did. Jesus came and gave the things of God to the world. And so now the apostles would give the things of God to the world. And that tradition has not stopped. God wants it to go on. He wants the church to be doing the same thing till the end of the world. So then Jesus said there in verse 19, for the sake of the disciples, Jesus sanctified himself, setting himself apart to the Father for the sake of the disciples, that they might be sanctified by the truth. Because Jesus also is the truth. Jesus again touched on the theme of the unity of his believers, verses 20 through 23. I do not pray for these alone. In other words, these 11 men standing here with me, Father, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you loved me. Jesus revealed that this whole prayer, while not for the world, yet it was not only for those 11 men, but it was for the people in the world who would believe in Jesus through the preaching of the apostles. And guess what? That includes us. It includes you. It includes me. I believe, and I'll show you why I believe this, that when Jesus said those words that we have in verses 20 through 23, I believe he had us in mind. And I'm not using just us, meaning, you know, the church that has come from the apostles, you know, down to our time all over the world. I mean, I know it includes all that, but I want to get real specific. I mean, the people sitting here in this building tonight, 220 Northeast 7th Street, Grants Pass, Oregon, June 29th, 2008. How do I know that he was thinking about us? Here's why. Jesus is God. God knows everything. Therefore, at the moment Jesus prayed, he thought of us here. Now, how did he do that? I don't know. The easy answer for that is, well, he's God. Somehow, he can know everything all at the same time. I don't know how that affects you. But it has affected me deeply this week, and it even is now as I speak it. That just moments before he's arrested, just hours before he's crucified, he was thinking of Don Rule. And he was thinking of every single one of you. Jesus wants us to be one, he said, even as the Father is in Jesus and Jesus is in the Father. So that we may be one in them, which he said creates an environment in the world for belief among the people of the world, leading them to believe that the Father sent the Son. In other words, when we're one, it's not just a good feeling to us. The world notices it. And they want to hear what we have to say. And what we have to say is that Jesus Christ is a Son of God, and that by believing in Him and following up your belief with obedience, you can be saved and have eternal life. Jesus helped that unity along, He said, by giving to the apostles and to us the glory, He said, that the Father gave to the Son. Now, brethren, I want you to stop for a moment and meditate on that one. Jesus said here that He gave, in verse 22, that the glory which the Father had given the Son was given that we might be one, I and them and you and me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. And in the previous verses, He touched on this idea that we can share in His glory. He wants us to have part in that glory. How has the Father glorified the Son? Well, Jesus indicated that we may share in that glory. And John evidently was touched by that truth. Because in 1 John 3, and I showed this to you when I preached through 1 John, John brought it up again, promising us something wonderful. Listen to the words of 1 John 3, verse 2. If you've never read these before, go home and think about what John promises here, especially in connection with John 17 and another passage I'm going to give you. 1 John 3, 2. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. Did you catch that? John said the time is coming when He'll be revealed, and at that revelation, which by the way is the next book I want to take you to, at that revelation, we're going to see Him as He is. And He said, if we're children of God, we'll be like that. So years later, God gave John the message of the book of Revelation. And one of the first things that happens is found in chapter 1. Where John sees the glory of Jesus Christ. And he wrote down these things for us, saying that when he saw Jesus, he was clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes like a flame of fire. His feet like fine brass as if refined in a furnace, and His countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. Well, to some degree or some measure, we'll have that glory. That's what John 17 and 1 John 3 are telling us. Obviously, we're not going to surpass Him. But somehow we'll share in those things. Just this week, take the time to look at John 17, 20-23, 1 John 3, 2, and Revelation 1 about verses 11-17. And just be flat out thrilled with what the Bible is telling us. Now, look at the words of John 17:23. Jesus in us, and the Father in Jesus, that we may be perfected into one, leading the world to know three things. Number one, that the Father sent the Son. Number two, that the Father loved the 11. And that the Father loves us even as He loved Jesus. And so because of that, Jesus wants us to be with Him. We have to stay on the earth for a while. But then finally, I don't know if He says, okay, it's time for so-and-so to come home or what. But look at verse 24. Father, I desire that they also whom You gave Me may be with Me where I am, that they may behold My glory which You have given Me, for You loved Me before the foundation of the world. Man, that is magnificent. Did you hear what Jesus prayed? He desired that those whom the Father gave to Him might be where Jesus was going, enabling them to behold, He said, to gaze upon the glory that the Father gave to the Son. Because the Father loved the Son before the foundation of the world. Well, we know this, and I showed this to you when we went through the book of Revelation. The apostles shall sit on 12 thrones surrounding the throne of God. But also, listen to this from Revelation. Revelation 3 makes... It's one of those things you think, it's just... It can't be possible. It must be that there's some kind of symbolic meaning there or something. It's that wonderful, in my opinion. But I think, I know what Jesus spoke here is the truth. Listen to what Jesus said in Revelation 3:21. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with Me on My throne, as I also overcame and sat down with My Father on His throne. Wow. Okay, I've given you a couple of other scriptures already to think about during the week. Would you mark this one down too? Revelation 3:21. I, if I overcome, will sit with Jesus on His throne? Is that what that verse said? I mean, that's what it said. So we've got to take Him, take His word for it. Take Him at His word. I'll tell you what, brethren, that ought to make us want to do everything we can to overcome. So that sometime in the future, can you picture Jesus Christ looking at you and saying, come up here and join Me on My throne? Wow. That's magnificent. Jesus ended His prayer with these words. O righteous Father, the world has not known You, but I have known You, and these have known that You sent Me. And I have declared to them Your name, and will declare it, that the love with which You loved Me may be in them, and I in them. With a term of endearment, Jesus called out to His righteous Father that the world had not known the Father, but Jesus knew the Father. And the apostles and all who believe what they preached know that the Father sent Jesus. And finally, Jesus ended His prayer stating that He had declared to the 11 God's name. And Jesus would declare it again so that the love with which the Father loved the Son would be in the disciples and us, and Jesus would be in us. What have you done to fulfill the prayer of Jesus? Jesus not only stated to the Father what he wants, and you know that's what the Father wants, but he said it in the presence of his apostles, and he sent his Holy Spirit to move John to write down the prayer in John, the Gospel according to John, so that we can read it, so we can know what he wants. I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. I'm his friend. I'm his disciple. That means I need to devote myself to doing whatever he wants. Do you need our prayers tonight? Do you want help in walking with Jesus daily? If so, we'd be delighted to pray for you. Please come now as we stand and sing.